Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, brought to you by BetDSI.com. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Thanks for joining me. Clippers-Warriors. Woo! First of four matchups. Possibly more. First of four regular season matchups, I should probably say. Clippers-Warriors, Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. Very excited for that one. You know, Clippers-Cavs was pretty exciting, and the Clippers playing the defending champions in their own house and beating them the way they did. Yeah, I do think that's the biggest win of the year. It probably meant the most. But Clippers-Warriors is a special sort of rivalry. Got Draymond Green and Blake. Now Durant. Chris Paul versus Steph Curry. JJ versus Klay Thompson. I mean, the matchups all over the court are fascinating. And of course, the Warriors are coming in hot to this one. Klay Thompson just dropped 60 points in three quarters. You know the craziest part about that 60 points in three quarters? It's not even the amount of time he did it in. I saw a stat earlier today. He dribbled the ball in those 60 points that he scored, on all the possessions that he scored in those 60 points. He dribbled the ball 11 times. He scored 60 points and only had to dribble 11 times. That's absurd. And as a high school basketball coach with a team that's victimized by over-dribbling, I can't wait to share that stat with my kids. 60 points on 11 dribbles. It's like, man, is there anyone better? And maybe in the history of the league, is there anyone better right now at using screens and finding space? And yeah, it's easy when you have Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Like I get that he doesn't have to work all that hard. Like maybe a Reggie Miller had to back in the day, running off all those screens when he was the only offensive option. But Klay can just get his shot off whenever. Sometimes he'll catch passes up by his head and he'll start his shooting motion just from wherever he catches the ball. Like I'm just in awe of his offensive ability. Imagine if he could really finish at the rim or was like this crazy athlete. It's scary to think about. But anyway, that's enough fawning over Klay Thompson for a Clippers podcast, I suppose. Before we talk more about Clippers-Warriors Wednesday night, I want to recap a little bit of the Clippers' latest loss to the Pacers. The Pacers swept the season series over the Clippers, which is a big surprise to a lot of people. Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue of the Dunked On Basketball podcast kind of discussed that game a little bit and also talked about maybe some bench issues for the Clippers and guys that they may look to add at some point this year to address some of those issues. I'm going to let those guys get into it. I'm going to play you this clip from, once again, this is Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue of the Dunked On Basketball podcast. Enjoy.
All right, let's get to the Clippers. 16-6, only 4-4 over their last eight after a pretty ugly loss to the Pacers tonight. Where do they stand in terms of the rest of the league rankings?
This is before tonight's stuff because it doesn't update that fast. Well, the first part is fourth in offense, first in defense, 5% chance of getting the top seed, which actually dropped just from tonight's game from 12% to 5%, and then a 6% chance of winning the title.
Yeah, and this is per our usual 538 odds that we look at. Yeah, I think, I don't know how much of that is because, hey, we got more information and they got beat by the Pacers. That's not a good team that they lost to, or how much of it is simply, hey, this is a loss that we didn't expect you, because I think they had an 86% chance of winning the game, and now you just have a lower chance at seeding at the number one seed, all that stuff that you're going to need to actually win the title. Now, this was a totally weird stretch, as you were saying, because it reminded us of why they won't get the number one seed, and also why they should be so dangerous in the playoffs. I mean, they got blown out by the Pacers. They almost got blown out tonight by the Pacers, too. It took a wild comeback to even make it slightly interesting at the end. They lost to the Nets, although Blake Griffin didn't play in that game. And then they completely destroyed the Cavs as well. Do you take more from them destroying the Cavs, or do you take more from some of their other flubs in the other games?
More from destroying the Cavs, but it's close. And a big part of that is that their starting five is still really good. And for whatever reason, Doc Rivers decided, hey, even though we have Luke Richard and Bob Mute, who got the halftime interview because he did a good job on Paul George, we're just going to play Jamal Crawford in the fourth quarter and see how that works. Like, those kind of mistakes probably won't happen as much in the playoffs, but when they've engaged on defense, they've been pretty good. I still don't think they're going to be great on defense against the best of the best, but they're a lot better than they were in a game like tonight in the third quarter, where the Pacers were basically getting whatever they wanted.
Yeah, tonight, and I understand why Doc went with Crawford just to get more offense, because they were down as well. I think, yeah, Luke might have been my choice, especially when they had Paul George in the game. And then they actually had Blake Griffin guarding Paul George. Blake did okay a couple of times, and then he actually got crossed up by PG really badly, but PG missed the shot. And then they went to Austin Rivers as a defensive specialist at the end, leaving Wes Johnson on the bench. They immediately got Rivers switched onto George. He drove to the baseline. Rivers got help, lost him, and then George sprinted out to the corner and hit a back-breaking three with a minute left to put him up seven. So that was, I would probably go with Wes Johnson or Alan Anderson as my defensive replacement, especially if you're in a switching situation rather than Austin. But Doc does seem to believe in Austin. I will say, too, I agree with you that I take more heart from the Cavs win than I do despair from these losses to kind of inferior teams, other than the fact that just their chances of the number seed are going down. I thought that was never particularly likely in any event.
In a totally unsurprising development, that bench lineup of Felton, Rivers, Crawford, Wes Johnson, and Spates was gangbusters at the beginning of the season. I mean, it was insane. Like, they were one of the best lineups in the league, actually, has fallen off since Wes Johnson got back. And it always was unsustainable. I mean, that lineup doesn't have any good defensive players, and they've actually defended reasonably well. I think they're at like 94, but they just haven't been able to score. But the overall truth is that they've been outscored with that lineup even before tonight, and they had a rough stretch in the fourth quarter. The Clippers don't need that group to be good to be relevant in the playoffs, but it will be a part of the regular season success if Doc's going to continue to refuse to stagger.
Yeah, Wes Johnson only played 3 minutes tonight, and Pierce played eight, which is not a trend that I really like, because Pierce, they don't need more shot creation on this second unit, right? Like, they need someone who can stop somebody, and Mo Spates was getting absolutely traffic coned today, despite still dominating the Spates threes versus Whiteside assists. But what is our latest number on that?
19-15, I believe. Spates is ahead. I should clarify.
Yes. I did say it was dominating, but I actually think that backup center is eventually going to be their biggest need, their biggest place to upgrade, especially because there aren't any good wings that are going to be available in the buyout market anyway, and there might be some centers. This actually wouldn't be a ridiculously terrible Bogut destination, maybe as a buyout.
Especially since the Warriors can't sign him.
Some more. Yeah, no, that's right. Since they trade him away, he cannot be signed for 1 year or until the conclusion. So yeah, but I think Spates is just not going to be good enough defensively throughout the course of the year. They have a lot of sieves on this. Felton, Rivers is okay one-on-one. Pierce is not very good. Jamal Crawford. They need a Cole Aldrich type of defensive backstop center. You know, it'd be interesting, actually. I wonder if, like, they could just trade Tibbs to get him back. Like, would they...
He took a hometown discount. That would be really complicated.
Yeah, I don't know how much of a...
The Clippers also, they're hard capped, and they have a bunch of complicated salary cap stuff. I mean, they'd probably have to trade Jamal.
Yeah, it would be hard. I mean, yeah, you know, Wes Johnson for Aldridge would work pretty well.
Once again, that was Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue of the Dunked On Basketball Podcast. A couple things I want to talk about. But before we discuss that clip, I need to tell you about our sponsor, BetDSI.com. Do you love basketball? Are you ready to get into the action? Check out BetDSI.com. They have over 20 years in the business. They're a top-rated business. It's safe. I actually made bets earlier there this year, my future bets. Phoenix Suns over 32 wins isn't looking too good right now, but super easy to use, great customer service. BetDSI.com also has a great basketball special going on right now. Sign up today, you get $10 free to try their service. BetDSI is also offering a 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's fast and easy payment of winnings, and there's hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You can also bet on UFC and basically every other sport you can think of. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Just go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there and use the promotion code CLIPPERS10 to get your free wager and start winning today. All right, Paul Pierce. Be too hypocritical here because I like the idea of experimenting and trying different lineups and trying different guys and see what you're going to get. And it's possible that Doc is using this stretch to see if he can rely on Paul Pierce, to see if, you know, he's going to be able to enter into this bench unit and be a productive member, and if the playoffs come, if he can actually use Paul Pierce. That being said, the Clippers' five-man unit, and this is directly from Dan Wojcicki of the OC Register, the Clippers' five-man unit of Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, Raymond Felton, Maurice Spates, and Wesley Johnson, statistically is the second-best defensive group in the NBA. Among five-man groups that have played at least 100 minutes, opponents are only scoring 91.1 points per 100 possessions. That ranks second in the NBA of all five-man units that have played at least 100 minutes. So, putting Paul Pierce over Wesley Johnson and then explaining it as Paul Pierce being a defensive decision, playing Pierce over Wesley Johnson is a defensive decision, which is what Doc Rivers said. He said, "I actually think Paul probably knows the positioning better than anyone. Like in the Cleveland game, he had two plays where he was in the right spot defensively. That was more of a defensive decision." That's what Doc Rivers said about playing Paul Pierce instead of Wesley Johnson. There's no planet where Paul Pierce is an upgrade right now over Wesley Johnson defensively. I understand that Doc Rivers has a certain amount of comfort with Paul Pierce based on all the time that they spent together in Boston. And, you know, he's familiar with him. He knows that he knows the rotations, that he knows the system. The mind may be willing for Paul Pierce. The body is not. He's just not quick enough to defend wing players. He's not quick enough to get in passing lanes and cause turnovers. He's just too slow. Physically, he can't hack it defensively. So, yes, experimenting is great. Yes, seeing if Paul Pierce has it is a good idea. But hopefully this doesn't turn into a thing where Rivers feels the need to play Paul Pierce substantial minutes in the postseason. Because from what we've seen, although he's flirted with a little bit of, you know, he's gotten hot a little bit offensively for a little bit, that's not what the second unit needs. Wesley Johnson is playing pretty well and is part of that five-man unit that's played really well this year. Hopefully Doc in the big games goes back to it. I'm going to be really interested to see if Pierce plays against Golden State. I think we're going to learn a lot based on what we see against Golden State in this game on that front, as far as the bench goes. The other thing that Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue talked about was potential buyout candidates for the Clippers. If they are looking to improve, The bench, and maybe add a backup center, which I don't necessarily think is a given. I think they're pretty comfortable going with Spates there instead of playing Spates and another big guy. I think they like the spacing that it provides for all those guards, all the driving lanes, all the driving kick opportunities. I don't necessarily think that the Clippers are going to find someone on the buyout market that they would rather play over Maurice Spates, if that makes any sense. And it's possible they move Spates to a four and play big, but again, we haven't really seen that. Spates has barely played with DeAndre Jordan. I think the last time we checked, it was like, what was it, 1.5 minutes, something like that. We had Andrew Hahn look it up, and it was a tiny, insignificant amount of time, but it goes to show you that Maurice Spates, they're not really teaming him up all that often with another true center. But the idea of the Dallas Mavericks buying out Andrew Bogut, whew, that's really interesting to me. Bogut is an incredible passer. He's still able to protect the rim really well. He's a guy who can go up and finish around the rim. No spacing at all. But as your backup center, as DeAndre Jordan insurance, and a guy who could come in and play 12, 15 minutes a night, man, it's enticing. Certainly enticing to think about. And Dallas is going to be so bad that it wouldn't be a surprise if they bought out Bogut. I don't think Bogut has any real plans of playing on a losing team, so it makes sense for them to negotiate something. And like those guys said, the Warriors can't get him. And what a better way to stick it to his former team, believe there is some animosity there, than joining the Clippers. It would just be kind of perfect. Now, one thing that's staying in my head when I think about this is the exchange that Chris Paul and Andrew Bogut had in their last game. Bogut gave him a couple cheap shots. They got tangled up. If anyone can upset a locker room, Bogut is a pretty polarizing guy. Just from what I've seen from him on Twitter, the things he supports, doesn't necessarily, his political views, things like that, probably won't line up all that great with the rest of the Clippers. But when you're chasing a championship, a lot of times you can sort of put that stuff to the side, and Bogut is a guy who, you know, has a lot of playoff experience. You know what he does. He knows what he does. It'd be really interesting. Another buyout candidate that I think the Clippers could potentially go after, PJ Tucker in Phoenix is on an expiring deal this year. Phoenix is going with, they're kind of stuck in the middle of a youth movement and still playing some veterans. They're 6-14. They're going to be out of the playoff race. Tucker is turning 32 years old. Again, expiring contract. Not someone the Clippers should have to give up a major asset for. TJ Warren has really exploded for Phoenix. Has become a clear-cut, you know, kind of starting option. So Tucker hasn't been playing nearly as much. He's only playing 24 minutes a night. And we should see that number start to go down. He's not playing very well right now. He's shooting only 26% from three-point land. He's still defending pretty well. He's always been a really good individual defender, especially when guys attack him directly. And we've seen in the past him be a pretty decent three-point shooter, 34.5% from three. I could see that, maybe, making some sense for the Clippers as a potential buyout candidate. You'd have to figure out roster spot situation, and is PJ Tucker an upgrade over Wesley Johnson? That's tough to say. I don't think so right now. If you would have asked me that 20 games ago, I probably would have said yes, though. So I think it's close. And it's just someone that I think the Clippers could potentially have interest in at some point. He's better than Paul Pierce. I'll tell you that right now. But yeah, that's the Clippers bench. Things are shaking up. They started off so hot. And bench has looked good at times, but they've also looked really bad at times. The ups and downs. The starters, everyone talks about, oh, it's the Clippers. They're so inconsistent. And yeah, I get why you would say that after losses. Two losses to Indiana and lost to Brooklyn. And then they beat Cleveland. And they're all over the place. It really hasn't been the starters all that much, though. There's been some turnover issues as of late. But the volatility of the Clippers is mostly that bench unit. And when you look at the names, Spates, Felton, Crawford, Rivers, yeah, you're not going to get consistently great performances. They're going to be awesome some nights where they look unstoppable and their shots are falling and they're totally in full swag mode. And then there's going to be some nights where they can't hit the broadside of a barn and can't defend anything. We kind of knew that about the bench. The starters just kind of have to buoy them. And for the most part, I think they will. Last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here. Clippers-Warriors, Wednesday night. I'm very curious to see what NBA analysts around the league from different outlets sort of do with the Clippers if they win this game by, say, like 15 points. If they come out and they beat the Warriors and it's not particularly close in the fourth quarter, what's going to happen? Is it going to be talk of, oh, the Warriors, you know, they're still young in their maturation process as a team. They still have time. They got to get things figured out. Or is it going to be, maybe we've been sleeping on the Clippers a little bit. I think that people are underestimating how good the Clippers have been this year. Yeah, they've fallen victim to some trap games, and we've discussed that and the reasoning behind it and why, sort of, when you play this many games in this many days, that you're bound to have some letdowns. 22 games in 36 days for the Clippers. Of course you're going to have some letdown games, especially when you're on the road. But when the Clippers have had a time to rest, a marquee opponent, a future playoff team for sure on national television, they've shown out and blown out a lot of very good basketball teams. So if the Clippers do it with the Warriors now, after doing it to the Cavs a couple of nights ago, what are people going to do? I would certainly hope that it would come time to where everyone would say, okay, Clippers are a real threat to win a title this year. But I haven't seen much of that. Just reading through power rankings on the various sites, ESPN.com, CBS Sports, NBA.com. Everyone is kind of reverting back to this, oh, the Clippers are who they thought we were, and oh, they're very inconsistent and all over the place, and this won't work when it comes to the postseason, and all these different things to where I feel like people were just loving these losses. And I know that sounds like a crazy biased fan thing to say. And I understand that when you do power rankings, you're bound to upset a lot of people. I've done power rankings before, and everyone hates you for it. And you can never seem to get it to a point that where everyone agrees, yeah, that's correct. But that being said, we are going to talk about one particular power ranking, and that's Matt Moore at CBSSports.com. I have a lot of respect for Matt. He is a workhorse and just pumps out great stuff all the time. Very smart, watches as much basketball as anyone, and is just a really smart analyst in general. I have a lot of respect for Matt. But his latest power ranking of the Clippers is crazy, crazy bananas. And there's probably a reason that he makes these crazy, crazy bananas, so, you know, people can talk about it, and I understand I'm falling into the trap a little bit, but this was too much for me to avoid. The Clippers, in Matt's latest power rankings, are 10th in the NBA. There is no. There is basically no way you can think the Clippers are legitimately the 10th best team in the NBA right now. And I understand that Matt is punishing them a little bit for losing, you know, for this latest road trip. And I can understand them dropping in the power rankings. I can't understand them dropping to 10th. I also can't understand, really, this reasoning. Matt says, the Cavaliers' win was so good, but they've lost 4 of 6 and twice in big ways to the Pacers. I was ready to forgive the losing streak and declare it over after the two wins, but the Pacers' loss set them back. That, coupled with the Cavs' struggles taking the shine off the Clippers' victory over them, drops them here. Just when you think the Clippers have turned it around. And that's how he ends it. Just when you think the Clippers have turned it around. Dot, 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 dot. I'm having a hard time with that. And I'm also having a hard time with Clippers being ranked behind the Milwaukee Bucks and Chicago Bulls, two teams who are floating around 500 in the Eastern Conference. The Clippers are better than a 500 team. They're better than two 500 teams. They're better than both the Bucks and the Bulls. There is very little question in my mind that when it comes March and April, we're not going to be talking about the championship legitimacy of the Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. We will be talking about the Clippers as a legitimate title contender. So 10th is a little crazy for me. Matt, I love you. You're a crazy son of a gun. A couple of bad road losses when the schedule is packed like this, and then a loss to Indiana that should have been a win, admittedly, showing some fatigue, shouldn't drop the Clippers to 10th in any power ranking. This is a top 5 basketball team virtually any way you look at it. And I'm anxious for the Clippers to show some of that tomorrow night. If the same Clippers team shows up against the Warriors that we've seen in big games, I think the narrative is going to swing in a really big way. And I think at home, against a team that they absolutely loathe, I'm not worried about an effort problem with the Clippers. I'm not worried about them sleepwalking through this game and not taking it seriously. They're going to be there to play. And I'm really excited to see just how well the combination of Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan can play against this new kind of front court for the Warriors with Zaza, and you got Durant in there now, of course, and the bench is different. I'm really excited to see how the Clippers match up, because on paper, and many people have said this, Zach Lowe recently just wrote this, on paper, in theory, the Clippers are sort of the antidote for what the Warriors present. That they match up really well and can give them some issues. Let's see it. Let's roll the ball out. Old Vinny Del Negro saying, let's roll the ball out, see what happens. I'm excited. We'll be back after the game with the Warriors. I'll have Jordan Heimer, I think. I may even recruit Andrew Hahn, do a little tripod action. But we'll be back after the Warriors game on Wednesday for all your game recap, all the analysis you need. Thanks for tuning in to the Locked On Clippers podcast. If you have questions for the podcast, comments, you can hit me up on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster or send me an email, fosterdj3@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. We will catch you after the game on Wednesday night. Take care.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.